listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
We have John Carbo here today, and among other ministries that we support, international ministries, John and Lindsay represent Rescue Ministries International, focused on Sierra Leone. And if you track with the text message or go online to Cornerstone Church, you'll find their link. You can give today to their work and ministry in that part of the world, or you can do that later. But I do want to encourage your participation in support, financial support, of what John and Lindsay are doing in Sierra Leone. Speaking of Sierra Leone, John, it's so good to have you here. There are a number of people that don't know who you are here today. And I'm going to tell a story, and then I want you to come and get yourself ready to preach God's word. But John and Lindsay are members of Cornerstone Church. You're part of this house. Here's the story. 100 years ago, Lindsay was in college. And she came home from Spokane, and she sat down in the service, and I got visiting with Lindsay, and she told me of her interest in missions and medical missionary work in particular. And so she announced to me that she was going to Sierra Leone. And Lindsay is a pretty risky kid in those days, and she ventured out. I says, "Lindsay, do you understand what you're doing here?" And so she says, "No, I do." And so she ventured out, went to Sierra Leone, only to come back and announce to me that she found her husband. I said, Lindsay, what are you doing?" And so I sat and talked with her. She was pretty confident. This is God in her life. It wasn't too much longer that John shows up here in Aberdeen. And a little while later, they get married. And now they have a wonderful family. And John spends a great deal of time in Western Africa. And God has raised him up as a voice in that part of the world. John has planted several churches with the help of the Holy Spirit in that part. This church has contributed financially and supplied, I don't know how many, John can tell you, three or plus buildings that we've built for congregations there in that part of the world. Then they have a ministry called Rescue Ministries, which is a ministry to blind children. In Sierra Leone, if a child happens to be blind, they're rejected by their family. And so John and Lindsay have rescued those kids, and they have a school, and they contribute to their food and clothing and their development, both physically and spiritually. And we support that vision. And so John not only has been involved in working in with his disciples in these various churches, and in addition to that, the ministry to the blind children, he's also been raised up in that part of the world as a voice, and speaks to a number of churches, conferences, and huge gatherings. So, John, God is using you in a mighty way. Who would have known when you stepped into Grays Harbor County to marry this girl, God had some plans for you, and your family is tracking with you. We love you. You're a brother. You're a friend. And you are a man of God. So, church, stand at your feet. Let's welcome John Carbo as he comes to preach and share with us God's word. Awesome. And by the way, that's a pretty sharp outfit you have there. Amen. God bless you. Be seated.
Thank you. I always want to say thank you, Pastor Larry. You know, you have been an encourager. I think he started ministry long ago, and so if you hang out with him, you'll know exactly what to do as a young minister. And so thank you. And thank you all for coming here today. Today is the first Sunday. I am not going to preach. I am teaching today. So I'll not be loud. Don't worry. It's going to be quiet. It's always a blessing for me to be here. This is my foundation church in America. I always say this anytime I speak, that I was ordained in this church. And so if I always say, Pastor Larry, if I commit any religious crime, he will be arrested. Because he ordained me. Yes, thank you. It's been a blessing here. I have my family here, and we are growing. We are growing. My boys are doing well. Josiah is getting taller by the day. And Jeremiah too, and Mabinti. And so, you know, I have my tradition before I preach. This beautiful wife of mine, my pillar, she's my prayer warrior, and she prays for me. Sometimes I sleep while she prays. So, this is the blessings, one of the blessings God gave me. If you see a pastor doing well, his wife is responsible. And so I travel a lot. Now, the reason why God gave me Lindsay is because she carries grace to take care of the kids when I'm away. Not every woman will marry John Carbo, no way. Only Lindsay is destined to handle my pressure. And so she tries her level best, and she's doing well. I want to say thank you. Okay, pray for me.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this Sunday. Thank you that we're healthy enough to come here and hear your word. Lord, I just pray that you would clear our minds and be receptive to the word that you've given John today to speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that we be filled with the knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so we can walk in a manner worthy of you, fully pleasing to you, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of you. May we be strengthened with all power according to your glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. May you give us a heart of thanks, and may we leave here changed and touched and ready for what you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Today we, like I said, it's going to be a quiet time. I want to teach something that we sometimes don't want to take seriously. You know, the culture in America here sometimes can get caught up with us, and then we don't do what we're supposed to do as Christians. There are things that happen in our lives. They are not meant for medication, but they are meant for prayers. And so when you take medication instead of prayer, it won't work. And because one thing I've realized, well, now I can speak boldly because I am both, I have a cross-cultural theological background for now, the culture here. I know the American culture a little bit, the Christian way, and I know the African culture. And so what I do, God tells me what to teach the people in Africa and want to what to teach those also in America. And one thing here in America that we sometimes don't understand is the area of spiritual warfare. This is a very important aspect in our lives. As Christians, we have to open our eyes to spiritual warfare. There are things that happen to us, to our families, we don't understand exactly what's going on. We just pray, we get angry, we get frustrated. Now, most thing that happens to us is not a physical fight, it's a spiritual fight. Now, I have my kids. When I look at them, I start to see something in them that I have to pray about. You know, I see my character in them when I was unsaved. And now I start to see that showing up in one of them. I say, oh, I have to start praying here. Because we have what we call a family pattern. Now, there are things that our kids inherit from our own parents. Now, you see the way they behave, it's not their own wish. It's something they inherited. It's a bloodline. But we don't want to understand that. So today, I want us to see something, understanding spiritual warfare and dealing with strongholds. Now, what a stronghold? Let's see what's a stronghold. Now, what's a stronghold? Let's see this one. What's a stronghold? Yes, go with me, please. Strongholds are fortified places built to exalt himself against the knowledge and plans of God. What's a stronghold? Strongholds are fortified places Satan built to exalt himself against the knowledge and plans of God. Two, a stronghold can also be something the enemy controls in a person's life. A stronghold can be something that the enemy is in control over your life. Satan typically uses our weaknesses or habits as his battleground to launch his attack. When Satan wants to come into your life, he uses your weaknesses now to enter into your life and destroy everything. Now, Satan and demons are spirits. They desire a physical medium to express their activities. Satan and demons are spirits. And so they desire a physical medium to express their activities. They are spirits. The demon. I know some of you will be scared today. I want you to be scared. So you go home and start praying. Now, the power of Satan and demons are useless unless expressed through somebody or an object. Now, here we have Luke 11, verse 24. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return to my house from which I came from. Now, let's look at this one here. When an unclean spirit, now, if you're here in this church, sometimes we do deliverance prayers. We pray for people and they are delivered. But look at this one. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Now, what he does, he says, I will return to my house from which I came from. Now, after you have been delivered in the church or you have been prayed for, if you go back and do the same thing you used to do, this demon will come back and it will come stronger than before. That's why you see the people, they do well for some time, they pray for them, and by the time you know it, they go back and start doing the worst things in their lives. Now here, I want to talk about strongholds, the type of strongholds. There are many types of strongholds, but I want to deal with three. And then I talk on one very important one. Now, number one, we have what to call territorial strongholds. I'm going step by step, this one. Territorial strongholds. Now, these represent, can I have the thing here? This represents the hierarchy of dark beings strategically assigned by Satan to influence and control nations, communities, and families. Territorial strongholds. These represent the hierarchy of dark beings strategically assigned by Satan to influence and control nations, communities, and families. I wish it to be on the screen. Supposed to be there. Now, these are the things that do control communities. There are strongholds wherever you find yourself. In Grace Harbor here, there are strongholds. The church in Grace Harbor is always under attack. This is the most unchristian community you can think of when you go around. It's a place where the enemy hits very hard. Churches don't do well as it's supposed to do well. Now, in some areas, churches close down here in Grace Harbor. Because why? The demonic attacks against Christians is very high. And so you realize the people are not even happy. You know, when you are in the spirit, you drive through Grace Harbor, you can feel unhappiness within you. That tells you there's a place where the enemy attacks. The people are depressed and very unhappy. Even us as Christians, sometimes we get discouraged. Now you see, the reason why I really love Pastor Larry here as I came over here is because God has used him to maintain the church. Many pastors have resigned in Grace Harbor. Many churches have closed down here. You know, because reason being, the enemy is not happy. The territory here is being controlled by a spirit that is faced with that is attacking even Christians. Discouragement is part of that. Now when you come to church, sometimes people are so quiet, they are not happy. You know why? There is a spirit hanging around the lives of the people. It is spiritual warfare. It's not something that is, you know, sometimes we'll say, oh, that's how, it's not a culture. Now, let me tell you, when we have football, if Seahawks is playing, if you go to those places, you see people removing their shirts, shouting. Some people will even paint their faces with Seahawks. They don't eat in the morning just to shout for Seahawks. So that tells you the church is under attack. Those things are meant for those who want to have it on their own. So we also can shout in the church the same way we shout in the football field. But the enemy wants us to be like this. Just unhappy. It's a territorial spirit. And Grace Harbor has been... Now, even here, you hardly see new Christians in churches in Grace Harbor. We just see old Christians jumping from one church to the other. You hardly see new converts here. Now, when you check, I've been here for well over 14 years. I know exactly what I'm talking about. These are territorial spirits. People, and we don't have genuine converts, but we have old Christians who recycle churches. That tells you it's a territorial attack. No, listen here. Now, specific demonic forces are assigned to different regions to fortify particular kinds of evil. Specific demonic forces are assigned to different regions to fortify particular kinds of evil. They come to different places. In Africa, we have our own demonic forces. Oh, terrible. Wherever I go, I'll talk about Africa when I'm in Africa. Now I'm in America. Now, certain cities will be strongholds of idolatry, sexual immorality, pornography, depression, divorce, witchcraft, or some types of religious spirits, and many more. Certain areas are attacked by these forces. Now, idolatry. Now, let me tell you. Idolatry is not having even a God in your house. But what you take higher than God is idolatry. Even your job can be an idol. Even your children can be an idol. There are people, they take their children higher than God. It's idolatry. Some people, even their wives, they take their wives higher than God. It's idolatry. Let me tell you, it's difficult for you to understand this one. But let me tell you, anything that is greater than God in your life is an idol. Some things you take so serious. The Bible says, Matthew 6:33, He says what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. So an idol is not only a god in your home, but even your habits, what you practice in your daily life, can be an idol. These forces attack our families. There are families, their idol, they have their own idol, what they love. You know, in America here, one of my food idols is cheeseburgers. And you know, it's very interesting how that thing attacks my life. And how did it come? It came in a very funny way. I came to Cornerstone. My wife was a secretary. She used to work at the office here. So I came from Africa, and I met one of the worship pastors here, Travis. Well, since I just came, and Travis wanted to befriend me. He wanted to make, just for me to be lively here. And so he said, "Oh, John, welcome to America." I said, "Thank you." And he said, "Let's go out. I want to go buy something." I said, "Oh, let's go." So I jumped in his car, and we went through McDonald's. That was the first time I smelled the most delicious smell in my life. And Travis bought me a huge cheeseburger. And so I came back to the office, and my wife was waiting for me. I was so joyful. I said, "Hey, Lindsay, I've got a new friend." And he bought me the nicest food ever. And I showed Lindsay the cheeseburger. She said, "Whoa, Travis, what have you done?" Since that day, I fall in love with cheeseburgers. And you know, it becomes a food of an idolatry life. You know, anytime I drive through places that they sell cheeseburgers, I almost have the temptation of going to the drive-through area. You know, I always say this story here because some people are guests here. When I used to buy, I go out by myself. You know, my wife, I would sneak and go buy this nice food. So I never knew when you use a debit card. When the time comes, they will send the bill, and then my wife will see all of this rundown. And so she will say, "Oh, John, so you even bought double cheeseburgers yesterday?" And so I changed my style. I use cash. I don't use card anymore. You know, I used to have one of my friends here who passed away. Anytime I preach, he will wait after service and will give me $10. "John, this one is for cheeseburgers." I say, "Thank you." Now, a stronghold. Now, these are things that comes into a man's life. They look sweet on the outside, but the inside, they are destructive. That's what the enemy does. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah is an example. Now, number two, we have ideological strongholds. As we go through this one, I said I'm not preaching today. We are just discussing things here. Ideological strongholds. Now, these concerns Satan's dominance of the worldview through philosophies that influence culture and societies. These ideological strongholds. These concern Satan's dominance of the worldview through philosophies that influence culture and societies. The theory of evolution or gender theory. So destructive. You know, people have ideas on their own now. Somebody wake up in the morning. Happy with man because these ideologies are satanic and they are demonic. How can you have a transgender. God has created in his own image and likeness. And you come up with this satanic ideologies that a man should be called a woman. That is the most demonic ideology ever in the history of man. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, God in heaven is not happy with these things that are happening in this life. And this is what we call ideological strongholds. And it is eating up the world today. That's why we have to be prayerful. Let's pray for our children, our grandchildren, that God in heaven will make a way where there seems to be no way. Well, listen, people accept that. Because why? The enemy has blinded the eyes of even us as believers. And so it is terrible. Let us ask God. That's what we call that ideological strongholds. We have to fight against those battles. And it is not a physical battle. It is spiritual. We have to pray. Prayer is the key to all of those things. You know, even when I'm here, I see things happening. Oh my goodness. I know exactly that the enemy. I don't judge people's lives. I pray for them. You know why? Because the enemy can attack anyone at any time. It is something that is demonic. And some of us don't even know. You know, here we go for, we have pills. Let's go for medication. Sometimes depression is caused by the enemy. It's not to be taken lightly. And it's not about, sometimes the more you take drugs, the more you are depressed. Come to the altar of grace. And ask God to deliver you. All will be well with you in Jesus' name. Now, we have the number three one that I want to talk about. Personal strongholds. These are things that lives in me and in you. Now, these are things that Satan builds to influence your personal life, my personal life. And these are examples of that. It's like pornography, drunkenness, thoughts, feelings, attitudes, and behavioral patterns. These are personal strongholds. They live inside of us. And so we have to make sure God helps us. Now I'm saying, I am not here to condemn anyone. Even me, I preach myself and ask God to help my family. I now live in America. My entire family is in America. So what God tells me, and I say it, I preach God's word and ask God to help us as a family, as a church, so that God will deliver us from these demonic strongholds in our lives, in our families. Now, when you check some of us, we come from very demonic family background. The way our grandparents used to live, the way our parents live, it's terrible. So that's why we come, you know, I always stand on the gap to pray for my children. So that my own generation from Africa, their own attitude will not transfer to the lives of my children. I pray for my wife's family background so that what has happened in her own family will not transfer in her own kids' lives. It's very serious. Now watch your child, the way he behaves or the way she behaves. When you check, background check. You know, when you go to the hospital, the doctor will ask you, so what did you eat last night? Then you start to talk. So what about your mom? Did she have high blood pressure? Then you answer. What about your dad? They ask you all the same thing in the church, the blood of in the covenant here. We have what we call generational curses. They come from one generation to the other. We have to maintain that one. I want to open your eyes today that if you are in a family that has been going through rough times, ask God to help you. So that you know what type of stronghold is destroying your family circle. Some is divorce. Divorce is something that has been in the family background. Now, no sooner you get married, by the time you know it, you are divorced. By the time you know it, that is not your own fault. It is something that comes from a family setting. You have to ask God to help you. Some, they have their own era. So I want to talk about three things quickly before we pray. Number one, stronghold that we talk about is unforgiveness. This is the most dangerous stronghold in our lives. Bitterness, Anger, my goodness. Some people cannot forgive no matter what you do. And some are easily offended. Even as I'm preaching, some are offended. You know why? It's a stronghold. It's something you need to check yourself. Now, no sooner you are easily offended, even in church, that tells you there is something inside of you that God wants to correct. Unforgiveness, bitterness. Some will not forgive. They tend to move from one place to the other with unforgiveness. That's a killer disease. Colossians 3 verse 13. Colossians 3 13 says what? Bear with each other and forgive one another. If anyone has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. There are families, they only gather together during Thanksgiving. And even that time, they don't even talk on the table. There are grudges all over the place. In the church, some are praising God, shouting hallelujah, but yet there is this stronghold of unforgiveness in their system. You know, let me tell you, God will not flow in certain areas. The Bible says, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself. But if you confess wholeheartedly, He is willing and just to forgive you. But if you regard sin in your heart, the Lord will not answer your prayers. Something we have to fight strongly about, the stronghold of unforgiveness. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness. It's a stronghold. Rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgive you. Forget about all that has happened in your life. Step out of that stronghold of unforgiveness. Say the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. This is a stronghold, bitterness of the mind. Some people, some of us, sometimes I tell you, I grew up from a very my uncle and his wife, where they never treated me well, so I was bitter and angry. But the Lord told me, until you forgive them, there will be no breakthrough in your life. Forgive, it's tough, but that's a stronghold that the enemy is using. Some people they gather offenses as they gather blackberries or blueberries. They gather them and manufacture something out of that. This one says bitterness of mind. This is one of the things that we have to fight in our lives. You know, even in marriage, you know, my wife is doing well. I told you, every time I talk about this, the reason why we are doing well, because we express ourselves to each other. Yesterday was my day. She rebuked me sharply yesterday in the morning. It was a very sharp rebuke. And I took it with all good faith. I said, thank you very much. I will try and change in Jesus' name. But before now, she'll be in the bathroom just crying. I said, if you don't tell me, I will not change. Now she's doing well. Don't keep grudges for your spouse. Don't keep grudges for your pastor. Don't keep going for your children or for your friend or your brother or your uncle. Express it and forgive and go forward. It's a stronghold we have to fight against. Bitterness of mind. You know, the friendliness. Some people, they don't even shake your hand. They don't like you. You know, I try my level best. I try not to keep grudges, but I express that. That's why sometimes people think, oh, John, I talk. I don't care. I say what is wrong and what is right, and I move forward. Number two, pride. Stronghold of pride. Pride goeth before destruction. Pride is destructive. Some people live in isolation because of pride. They will never ask for help. It's a stronghold. You are dying slowly by yourself. It's pride. Ask God to help you. Pride is dangerous. That's why, you know, sometimes I always tell people, the Bible says, humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up. Pride, James 4:10. James 4 verse 10. We have the song we sing in Africa, even in Sunday school, the children, we sing the song every time in the morning. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Even the 4 to 3 years old can sing the song. They teach us how to be humble, because humility is a key to a Christian's life. Now, James 4 verse 6 and 7. But he gives us more grace. He gives grace to the humble. That's why I should say, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. It's not Satan that opposes the prideful. It's God himself. You see how pride is dangerous? This is not Satan opposing the pride, but God himself. He resists the prideful, but he gives grace to the humble. Even as pastors, you know, sometimes when God is using you, be careful. Pride comes in so easily. You think you are God. You are not God. You know, my son, Jeremiah, when I was in Africa, I asked them during the COVID-19. I said, nobody should go out of the house until I come. And Jeremiah asked, Dad, are you God? I said, no, I just want to protect you. He was just, because he thinks I can save them. I cannot save them. It's only God that can save them. So sometimes we behave as if we have succeeded in this life because of wealth. Some people, because of money, they think they have arrived. Let me tell you, money, there will be a time money becomes useless in your life. There will come a time food is useless to you. Nothing is sweet in your mouth anymore. Because why? The time of departure has arrived. Pride is destructive. Even in church, people leave church because of pride. You cannot correct them. No. No pastor can say this is wrong. They will leave. Pride is destructive. You know, when I was in school, I was very fluent when I speak in English. So wherever I go, people follow me. I have my friend. Oh, John, you're going to be a good lawyer. I wanted to be a lawyer. And that was what I wanted, because I think I will make more money when I be a lawyer. But unfortunately, unfortunately for me, God asked me, say, you're going to be a lawyer for me in the pulpit. You're going to preach the gospel. And this lawyer here, I don't lie on the pulpit. But some areas in being a lawyer, you have to defend people whether they are right or wrong. Here we speak the truth from the Bible. Pride makes you funny in the eyes of God. He looks at you and says, who are you? You are nothing. With all your wealth, one day you leave everything and go back. So there's this great man called Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great, he was a very wonderful man where he said he conquered the world. That's what he said. And there was something he said. He was attacked by a sickness, I think it's malaria or so, that attacked him. And so he was about to die. So he called his generals, his followers. He said, hey, gentlemen, he said, I'm about to leave this world, but I have 3 requests I want to make from you. He said, number one, when I die, let the doctors carry my corpse. He said, number two, let my hands be open out of the caskets. Open hands. And number three, all my wealth should be scattered on the way to the cemetery. They asked him, why are you saying this? He said, well, number one, I've been so wealthy, I have everything in abundance. But I have realized that doctors cannot save life. Money cannot buy life. Number two, I came empty, so I'm going back empty. Number three, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. He was prideful, but death humbled him. Pride is destructive. No matter how long you live on this earth, one day you have to leave. And God will ask you some questions you need to answer. Quit being prideful. Ask God to help you. It's a dangerous stronghold. And God can make a way. The last one here, as I close, is addiction. Stronghold of addiction. Now, you can go to some communities, whatever, anyone you see around smokes. They are the demons of smoking cigarettes. It's all over them. You know, I went to one place in Washington, D.C. one time, and they smoke weed all over the place. And when the police officer saw me coming, He said, "Hey, I know you are a guest in this area." I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Don't join those guys." I said, "Wow. God took me out from trouble. I knew God's grace and favor was upon my life. So he asked me not to join those guys where I was about to. I was about to go and eat. I don't know the area very well." And so that's the area where the demons attacking young men who drink and smoke and become drunk all the time. That's where they stay. It's a demonic area. And some people in this life, the addiction of smoking and drunkenness and pornography is inside of them. It's a stronghold. I know this message is not comfortable. That's why no sooner I preach, I'll leave immediately for Africa. Addiction is a very serious issue in our lives. You know, there are men, they will not sleep until they watch pornography. There are women, they have all the issues in this life. They also have to watch this thing. It is an addiction. Stay away from it. The church is not growing because why? Those of us singing and praising God are involved in such addictions. You know, some people will not live anywhere, any stone unturned, until they do what they have to do with their addiction. Let's ask God to help us. I am not here on a judgmental issue, but I'm here on an encouraging tune that we know exactly that the enemy is all over the place. For our children, I told you, my father died. He was an alcoholic. Yeah, his lungs were all damaged. So now I'm praying, God, please help me and help my children. Since that time, I hate alcohol with passion because I know how destructive it is. It helps me onto this level. And by God's grace, my family pattern will go through that. Addictions, they are terrible. You know, here, they instead of a sin, they say addiction. That's why I use the word addiction. But it's sin. Proverbs 25 verse 28. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. You don't have any resistance over addiction. Titus 2:11 verse 12. The north wind. Titus 2:11 and 12. Let's jump that one. Titus 2. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. The grace of God it has appeared to all men. And so we have to live soberly and not being involved in any addiction that will destroy our lives. We have to ask God today to help us, teaching us those principles. And as I close here, I'll just read it and then we go. How to deal with the strongholds. Number one, how to deal with the strongholds. I just give you something. Now, number one, the word of God. Use God's word to deal with the strongholds. Ephesians 6 verse 17. What does it say? Ephesians 6 verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Use this weapon to fight against the strongholds. Medication will work for a while, but it will end up in disaster. But the word of God will last forever. Number two, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, a Christian without the Holy Spirit is like a vehicle without gas. It takes you nowhere. The Holy Spirit is the most paramount thing in a Christian's life. Now, it helps you to understand what is happening in your life or in someone's life. The Holy Spirit should not be taken for granted. Now, Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Luke 4, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to be upon us so we can do things that will honor God in His own way. Finally, prayer and fasting. And this kind, Mark 9 verse 29. Mark 9, 29 says, so he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. That addiction, that stronghold cannot come out except by prayer and fasting. Practice to fast and pray. I know in America it is difficult to fast, but there is food everywhere. For us in Africa, you fast by force, because sometimes there is no food. But here, how can you fast when the fridge is full of all the good things? But sometimes you have to handle yourself. You know what? Let me fast for just 1 hour or 2 hours so that I will ask God to help me overcome this addiction. You know, when you look at your life, when you are living in the world, the same people, the way you used to do things, you see the same people, you do the same things that you used to do. Your role now is to help them come out of that danger. God has taken you out of darkness. Help other people also. The strongholds are so many in people's lives. You know, when you come, you drive here in Grace Harbor, you see people very unhappy around, begging. You know, sometimes I say, how can you be in America and still beg? It's an attack from the enemy. It's an attack. It's just like a man who was seated at the beautiful gate and still begging. How can you be in the beautiful gate and yet begging? The same thing happens here. Some people don't even smile to you. They hate you with passion. You know, I realized when I was here 14 years ago, I was the only black man around. Yes, some will look at you with those eyes. I say no. One day I went to buy something and the way the lady was talking to me, you realize she doesn't want to see me. I say, well, I was made in the image and likeness of God, so I'm here. I was flying one time and God gave me grace. A lady was sitting by me. She doesn't like black people. So she asked for a change. And what happened? I was upgraded to business class for that reason. I say, thank God that you segregate. You said you don't like me, but God likes me. So from economy front to the business class, that's promotion by grace. You know, God has a way of making things happen in your life. Strongholds are destructive. Idolatry is destructive. Honor God first. You know, some people think I'm crazy because I leave my family and go and serve God. I have to. I don't care what people say. What I care is what God says. He says, John, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. And so that's why He takes care of my kids when I'm away. It's tough, but I have to do it. Idolatry, pride, unforgiveness is a stronghold. Your marriage is not doing well because why? Unforgiveness is eating you up. In the church, people jump from one church to the other. Maybe today one will leave because of this message too. Wherever you go, it's the same thing. Hey, accept God's principles in your life and ask God to help you. Pornography is terrible. It destroys your life. I want to pray for certain people here today. I said today is a teaching thing. I am not preaching, so I don't shout. I'm just quiet. Ask God, what stronghold I've listed all this one. Territorial Stronghold, Grace Harbor. I told you, churches are closing down. They are folding up. The enemy is attacking. You know, I hang on the grace of Pastor Larry. He survived in Grace Harbor as a pastor. Yeah. The people, unhappiness, depression. Stand to your feet. You know, even in your family, the stronghold destroys a family. You know, when you have money, but you don't know what to do with the money, it's a stronghold. The enemy comes and just destroys everything. No joy. Offense is destroying you. You know, as I'm speaking here, the Lord is telling me about offenses. Offenses. It's all I'm hearing right now. Since that it's just offenses. It's all that is pouring down right now. That God wants to remind you, don't go home with all those offenses. The bitterness of mind is destructive. Many people have offended me. I forgive them. I do. When I came here, most people don't like me, but now they are my friends. God knows what He's doing. Don't leave this church because of offense. Wherever you go, there is a God. Same way as you left here. Lift your hands to the God. I want you to lift your hands. Don't have a prideful stronghold. Lift your hands. And talk to God in your own language, in your own way. Whatever stronghold that has been holding you up, let God make a way for you in your life. You live in Grace Harbor, that you be happy even when others are unhappy. When you are offended, ask God, I know I have been offended. I ask for forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord, oh my Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord. I know some people want to drop their offenses here today before they leave. I know there is prayer time, the stronghold of offenses. Bitterness of mind should be dropped down. Thank you, Father. Some of us, we are easily offended. Ask God, it's a stronghold, to calm down your heart and serve God. Bless the Lord.
Understanding. Have you been alerted this morning? Is your understanding awakened to the game? And if you are wrestling with things in your life today, God wants to free you up. Set you free. Set you on course. so that you can be the best that you can be for God. Isn't our God amazing? We're going to dismiss you in a moment, but here's the worship team is going to worship and sing. If you'd like to come down to the front, there's a very, very effective worship team and a prayer team that creates an atmosphere for you to find the freedom that God has intended for you. If you must go, service is dismissed, but I encourage you to come receive ministry this morning. Thank you for being here. Thank you for joining with us. God bless you. Respond to the things of God. Amen. Listening to the Cornerstone Church weekly podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.